Today's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 25. I'm going to read the scripture and then we'll pray. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard this, that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you have thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray that it will speak to our hearts and that you continually just transform us. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this moment right here and now as you speak to us through your word. And so as I've been going through different types of prayers in the book of Acts, we arrive here on a prayer of repentance. And so last week I shared about the context of this verse as I shared about prayer and opportunities that can be planned or unplanned. But here we have, just to share the context of what's happening, is that persecution had scattered the disciples of Jesus from Jerusalem to Samaria. And as some were scattered, they continued preaching on their way. And so Philip had gone down to Samaria and had great success in proclaiming Jesus. And so signs and miracles were abounding and people were being baptized. And so God's message was flourishing in Samaria. And in this story, we encounter a man named Simon. And so just to summarize this passage, this is what we know about Simon's history as revealed through this passage, is that Simon, one of the individuals that had been baptized and believed, had been practicing sorcery and making a living out of it. And so it says here that people were astounded by him as he claimed to be somebody great. People paid attention to him. It says from the least to the greatest. And they affirmed him by saying, "This man is called the great power of God." And it says that this happened for a long time. And so what we at least know from Simon is, from making a living from sorcery, is that people were amazed by him. That people were, you could imagine that as he went throughout the city, that people was like, "Oh, there goes Simon. God uses him in such an amazing way, this great power of God." And people affirmed him. It says from the least to the greatest. And so there was this attention that was on him. And so Simon becomes one of the ones who believes as well during Philip's ministry. And it says that he believed and was baptized. and that he went with Philip constantly. And it says that he was astounded by what he saw, that as he went with Philip, he was also astounded by the signs and miracles being performed by Philip. And so what we see here is that Simon saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of the hands. And so he thought that this could be something that could be purchased. And if he offered money, he said, "Give me this power too, so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." And so you could kind of understand Simon's background as coming from a background of sorcery, of he sees something that is happening. He's like, "Oh, I want some of that." And so what was his motive, though? It says here from this part, at least from what the words that he spoke, what was his motive? It says, "I give me the Holy Spirit so that I may lay hands on others and that others may really receive the Holy Spirit." So in this part, we see that, oh, this guy has good intentions. He wants, you could almost maybe look into the situation and be like, "Oh, wow, this guy just got baptized. He believes and he wants others to receive the Holy Spirit." But was it genuine? What was the intent of his heart? Because that is something that we see that then Peter confronts in Simon. And so we have first Peter's sharp rebuke of Simon, where he says, "You thought the gift of God could be obtained by money." Okay? And so Peter rebukes Simon in this area, thinking, "You thought that you could obtain the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, by money." Now, Simon's background of sorcery and magician was the way they kind of exchange, you could say, their secrets of how they did things. So they would exchange their sorcery and magicians. They would exchange their secrets for money. And so this wasn't quite unusual for Simon to offer that money. So he thought he could purchase the secret and the power. But what we see here is that we see Peter's discernment. He says, "Your heart is not right before God." And so Simon has now disclosed a condition. Now Peter has now disclosed the condition of Simon's heart, and Peter calls him out on it. He says, "Your heart is not right with God." And so Peter gives him an exhortation and guidance to Simon, and he says, first thing he tells him is, "Repent of your wickedness." So what we know that throughout Scripture that the path towards restoration always begins with repentance. And so here Peter offers Simon an opportunity to repent. And he says, "Pray that the intent of your heart may be forgiven." And I like to bring attention to this, because sometimes I think we focus on repenting of our actions. But here Peter goes at the heart of Simon and says, "Repent of your intentions." Not Simon's actions, but the intent of Peter. Peter confronts Simon about his intent and says, and Simon said the right thing. You could say that Simon said the right thing, but the intent of his heart was not in the right place. Okay? Because what did he said the right thing, but his heart wasn't in the right place. What do I mean by that? Is that we understand that Simon said, "Oh, give me I want what you have, the laying of the hands, so people may receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, those were the words he says, but Peter doesn't call him out on that. He calls him out instead on the intent of his heart. Because I think sometimes we may say or do the right things, but what is the condition of our hearts? And so we can see that wickedness is not just limited to our actions, but the intent of our hearts as well. And that intent requires repentance in our lives. And so we see that then Peter calls him out on his bitterness and bound by iniquity. And there's a few things that I was meditating through this scripture, I was like, what does he mean by the bitterness and bound by iniquity? Isn't this the man that had believed and had been baptized? And so did Simon have, and so some of the commentary that I had read is just asked simply the question, did Simon have genuine saving faith, or was there an ulterior motive for Simon's belief and baptism? Okay? And so those are, as I started pondering those questions of like, okay, Simon was baptized. It says that he believed and was baptized. But here, Simon says that there's bitterness and inequity found in Simon. And I'm wondering, and I think for me, I'm just playing through this scenario of why would here Simon have any bitterness in his heart? And I think maybe perhaps if we refer back to the beginning of the scripture of what we read about Simon, is that he was a sorcerer. And like I said, everyone always went for his attention. Everyone was always after him. Everyone's like, oh, you're this great power that comes from God. But now that was kind of gone. No one was looking at him anymore. People were now looking at, you could say, Philip and what God was doing in that place. So you could say that maybe there is a sense of bitterness of who are these individuals that have now taken away the attention that has now come upon my life. I don't know. I'm thinking as maybe, is that a reason of maybe the source of bitterness in Simon's life? And the iniquity was maybe Simon's intent to make a profit out of it. Maybe his belief in the first place, because like I said, Simon was a sorcerer. He was a magician. And so he sees Philip doing all these signs and miracles. Maybe he's thinking, oh, maybe I can benefit from that. Oh, all I got to do is believe. Yeah, I believe. Get baptized. Yeah, I'll get baptized. Okay. And then later goes, oh, how can I get what you have? Give me your, I'll pay for it myself as well. You know? And I think sometimes, maybe in some way, when some people believe, you could say that, is their purpose of believing because of they understand what the gospel is and they've placed their faith in Jesus Christ? Or sometimes, I've encountered that, sometimes people believe because of they show up to church and maybe they hear, oh, maybe there's something I can get from God. And that's their whole relationship with God is more transactional rather than relational. And I think here we kind of can probably see that there's a bitterness in Simon, and maybe even his intent was maybe he never even really believed in the sense of believing in the gospel, but was more in it for what the gospel could, or what he saw the gospel was offering in the lives of people. But regardless, as we see here that Peter calls out Simon in his life. And so we see here Simon's response. And Simon responds with, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing that Peter had said would happen. So we see that Simon's response as he tells Peter to pray for the Lord to the Lord for him. And he says so that nothing that Peter has said would happen to him. And so what we see is that he does not indicate that he will do anything to show repentance. What I mean by this is that essentially Simon here is not necessarily repenting of the sin in his life. He's more repenting on you could say, oh no, I got caught. And I think sometimes if we look at our lives, sometimes are we repenting of the sin in our lives, or what we see sometimes are the consequences of that sin in our lives. And that's more of what we're sorry about. Kind of when you ask someone, oh, are you sorry because you're genuinely sorry? Or are you sorry because you got caught in that way? And so Simon was acting in character here. And so Simon has disclosed the condition of his heart. And so whether Simon was truly repentant or not is unclear. But in verse 24, he does not indicate that he will do anything to show his repentance. We see that his concern is more of the consequence of his sin than the repentance of his sin. Because he's more concerned about, oh, whatever Peter had said God would do to him, he was more concerned about that than the repentance of his sin. And so as I reflected on this passage of what it could mean for our lives, that sometimes there are moments or circumstances that reveal the condition of our heart. And I think, and sometimes we can probably say, where our heart may be, but unless we're placed in those moments or circumstances in our, those moments and circumstances in our hearts, it's really when those moments really reveal the condition of our heart here, as we saw with Simon, and where our heart is not right before God. And so typically what happens in those moments is, what is our response and what should be our response? I do think that these moments, I would see these moments that that reveal the condition of our heart, that reveal that perhaps our heart might not be in the right place. These are opportunities in our lives to practice repentance, the opportunity to repent. And so we often think that it is only our actions that require repentance. But as we see here, that what did Peter tell Simon? Repent for the intent of your heart as well. And I think that's that's also so crucial in our lives, because if we don't deal at the root problem as well, the actions are not far away. And so here, I think we have to reflect on our lives, is that, are we repenting sometimes of the intent of our heart? Just because we didn't go and follow through on something, we should also confront the intent of our heart as well. And so we often think that it is only our actions that require repentance, but what about the intent of our heart? And also that there's a difference between regret. Regret is not repentance. Do we repent in fear of the consequences? Or do we repent of our sins? Or is our concern more with the consequences sometimes of our sins? And so Simon was rebuked, exhorted, but was offered repentance. And that's what I like about this passage, is that as well that Peter offered at least Simon the opportunity of repentance in this passage, and he says, repent here. And I think one of the things that is crucial in our lives is that hopefully we can have people in our lives that will call us out, or maybe may we be those people in the lives of others as well. But what we have here is the path of repentance is God's grace offered to us to bring us back to Him, to make us more like Him. And there's this quote that I read from one of my favorite writers that says, "The gospel so transforms us that even moments of temptation become the training ground for a life of abundance as our hearts are radically reshaped and reordered by the love of Jesus for us." And so sometimes the opportunities and the circumstances that reveal our hearts, that may reveal that our hearts are not in the right place, it's a moment of response for us. And people respond differently in those moments. We saw Simon. Simon didn't really necessarily repent of his sin. He was more concerned about, hey, I just don't want God to just come after me. And sometimes in the same way are we more repentant? Are we more regretful rather than repentant in our lives? And so, however, sometimes it's our pride or our blindness that we reject this path of repentance. And so we offer instead a cheap repentance that is more concerned with the consequences of our sins upon ourselves versus the consequence of our sins in relationship to God. And so this morning, as we've gone through this prayer, I think there's a part of the prayer of repentance in our lives, of maybe for example, like I have a sister. Me and my sister would fight all the time, and when we were really really young, and she was older and a lot taller than me, you know, she would beat me up physically because she could, you know. But my intent was, oh, if I get bigger, I would fight back and all of that. Whether I didn't end up doing anything because I was too scared, you know? But I had the intent in my heart to want to attack her. And I think that's the thing, is that just because sometimes our actions may not align with our intent sometimes, we think, oh, we don't need to repent of those things. But I think in this scripture where we see that even intent in our lives matter as well. And you could even see it in the Gospels with the life of Jesus, where Jesus talks about, even if you lust after a woman, you have committed adultery in your heart. Jesus goes beyond the actions and the behavior, and he goes to the root of the problem, and he goes to the heart as well. And so as Cardia comes up to lead us into a time of worship, let's reflect on this idea of repentance. I'm sure we're used to repenting of our actions, but have we thought about maybe sometimes the intent of our heart? Even Jesus said, if you have hate and anger towards your brother, you've committed murder. Again, it goes back to not just the action of that, but Jesus goes to the heart of that as well. And I also like that Peter offered Simon that path back of repentance. And I'm thankful for the people in my life that have called me out in my life when I've needed it as well. And so as we close our eyes and we go into a time of reflection, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to see if there's areas in our lives where our intent and our heart hasn't been in the right place. And to always think of the prayer of repentance as the path in which God offers his grace to us to bring us back to him. So Father, as we go into this time of just worship and reflection, in these moments where our hearts are revealed, may we not hide like perhaps Adam and Eve did when you confronted them. May we not find an excuse in our lives, but that we would take the path of repentance in our lives to draw back to you. And so, Father, I just pray that you would draw close to us now and speak to us now in this moment. Amen.
Stripped away, heading much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you.
Father, may we practice genuine repentance in our lives, not just of our actions, but sometimes the intent of our hearts as well. And may we see these moments and circumstances that reveal our hearts, not as a reason to toughen up our hearts, but as opportunities to repent. And to have our heart made right with you once again. And so, Father, we thank you that you offer this path of reconciliation, of restoration with you. And so, Father, I thank you for that. And that you are constantly making us more like you, Jesus. And so, Father, we just thank you. As we invite you into the rest of this prayer time, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer and chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for those that have illnesses and are also in need of salvation and knowing who Jesus is. Let's pray for those with infirmities. Pray for those that are seeking jobs in this season. Pray for our areas of mission. Pray for our board as well. Thank you. Let's pray for the fellowships happening in young adults, men's ministry, and women's ministry. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Pray for today's gathering of EHS. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Yeah, Father, we thank you for your presence in our life that is with us and as it goes before us in our day, that you would lead us and guide us, whether that's going back to work or going back home or with our families and friends, that your presence would go before us and that you would lead us to live the lives that you have called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.